Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
You're about to hear a quite familiar voice to Clevelanders. You remember him from his time as Cleveland.com, Ohio State and recruiting expert. Also of The Athletic. Now he covers college football for On3 Sports to talk Ohio State, Oregon, 5 p.m. tomorrow at the Rose Bowl on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Ari Wasserman. Ari, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you here. As we kind of get started here, we've talked throughout the day how we're feeling about this game. I had no vibes going into the Tennessee game, and I think John was on the same page. I'm pretty confident about Ohio State's ability not just to keep this competitive, but also have a chance to win this and maybe make a championship run here. Are you confident that Ohio State's going to be as competitive in this game as they were in the first matchup against Oregon?
Yeah. Well, like the thing that's interesting about this Ohio State season and the way that it's played out is that heading into the college football playoff, it was like such a bad place for the program, you know, having lost to Michigan the way that they did and all the discourse that was surrounding the team, you know, as it pertains to Ryan Day and his future there, that you wondered if that was such a death blow that they wouldn't be able to get up off the mat. And what you saw was a team that went out and played its game against the Tennessee that frankly just, you know, wasn't in a place from a roster perspective to compete against that. So now Ohio State, the analysis of it isn't just, well, is this team just mentally broken or just broken, period, after what happened with Michigan? You're past that now, and now it's just about football, and they're playing the best team in college football. So, you know, as it pertains to competing with them, I think that that is a no-brainer, yes, you know, especially considering the fact that they're a, you know, field goal or a 2.5-point favorite. You know, the question now is, does Ohio State maintain the way that they called the game, you know, from a coaching perspective against Tennessee, and whether or not the teams that are out there are equipped to compete with it? Now, if there's any team that can beat Ohio State straight up with Ohio State playing its best game, it's Oregon. I believe that they've already done that to a certain extent. Ohio State played, you know, the second best game of their season at Oregon and lost. So, like, you know, when it comes to, like, can they win the game and win the national title? You know, the answer is a resounding yes. Like, could they lose tomorrow? Absolutely. You know, and it's going to be what I anticipate is the matchup of the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think it's quite as simple as it was when it was against Georgia a few years ago, or it was winner of that game goes on to win the title, because there's still a lot of talented teams left, and this is a more grueling path to the championship. But if you're an Ohio State fan, considering where they were in late November and where they are now, you probably have to be delighted about their opportunity to go out and show something against Oregon and maybe, you know, advance and do something big.
Yeah, Ari, I'm interested in the how in this one, because in the Tennessee game, obviously they opened up the passing game more, and Jeremiah Smith was awesome. But Oregon allowed 292 yards on the ground in the Big Ten title game. Like Penn State was able to get after him through the run game, and I don't know if that's necessarily what Ohio State wants to do after what you saw the success with Tennessee is, but it's not like Judkins and Henderson are any slouches either.
For sure. Well, I mean, I think that the thing that you have to wonder is Ohio State's offensive line up to the task? And, you know, from all standards that we've come to expect after what we saw at the end of the year like they did really well against Tennessee. Like, Tennessee's defensive line is very, very good, and I don't know if they had very many pressures in that game and, you know, didn't really impact the quarterback at all. Now, Oregon's defensive line is very good, and I guess you can run on them, but Ohio State, you know, I don't know if you can fall back into the trap of, like, we're going to outrun the opponent and get back, you know, to winning games that way. I think the thing that made the Tennessee game so satisfying for Ohio State fans to watch is that Ohio State just finally embraced who they are, didn't try to beat Michigan at who they are. They, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just kind of threw it all over the place. And, like, I'm not saying that Ohio State doesn't use the run. They are usually a 50-50 team, and I think they have been for most of the year. But I think that Ohio State, when at its best, is relying on the pass in very critical situations to move the football, and then using the run as a complement when teams are on their heels or when they're trying to sock a game away in the second half. Like, I don't know, like, if you're going into this game wondering if Ohio State's going to run the ball 35 times for 275 yards and just run their way through them. Like, that's not who they are. And that's not who they've been, and frankly speaking, don't think that's how they should call the game. I think they should call the game by taking shots downfield to Jeremiah Smith. I think they should call the game by throwing laterally and getting their athletes in space. And then when the defense is spreading out, using, you know, Trey Henderson and Judkins to hit home runs through the middle, you know, when that defense may be weak or not expecting it as much. So, like, that to me is who Ohio State is. And I think part of the reason why Ohio State lost the Michigan game is because they didn't play who they are. You know, statistically speaking, if you go back and look, I think they even threw the ball more times against Michigan than they did against Tennessee, but the way they threw it was different. They, you know, it's not just, you know, box scores, you know, run totals and pass totals. It's how do you approach the game? How do you throw it? When do you throw it? And what the routes look like when you do throw it? Like, you can throw it a yard and still be a really good team. It doesn't have to be deep shots. Like, you just have to rely on who you are. And, you know, the hope, if I'm an Ohio State fan, is that if Ohio State goes out into this game and plays unapologetically who they are, and by doing so, you know, wins or loses, but at least you don't have that taste in your mouth of, like, well, the coaching staff just didn't put them in the best position, because the best position is throwing to their four and five receivers that cannot be covered by anybody in the country.
Ari, one take, and a take that I tend to agree with, is that this is the toughest matchup left for Ohio State. Do you agree with that, or do you think, whether it's Texas, Georgia, or anybody else, that there are tougher matchups for Ohio State to win later in the bracket?
No, I think that this is the toughest, and I think that this is the toughest for anybody, because I believe that Oregon has proven and deserves to be viewed as the number one team in the country. It's the only team that went wire to wire without losing this year in a season, frankly, where everybody's was losing games that they shouldn't have lost, and that talent gap between you know, the best teams in the country and the middle tier teams, and, you know, in the 5 to 15 range, aren't quite as big as they've been in the past. That said, Ohio State is the most talented team in college football, and there's no question. It's not even a debate. So, like, and you look at the matchup, it's like, yeah, this is going to be a very difficult matchup for Ohio State because of who they're playing, but Oregon got kind of jobbed here with the way that the seeding worked out, too, because Oregon shouldn't have to be playing their first playoff game in Pasadena against Ohio State. So, you know, I think that in years past, this would feel kind of like the national championship game to me. But with Georgia still out there and Penn State and Texas still out there, there's going to be big games down the pike. But I don't know if there's going to be a tougher matchup for Ohio State. Because you want to know what the real thing is, and I'm just going to say it. Ohio State and Oregon are the only two teams left in the entire playoff that have, like, elite-level lethal receivers. And, like, if Ohio State plays the game they played against Tennessee, like, Tennessee just was not equipped from a talent perspective to keep up with that. Like, the only team left in the college football playoff that is going to be able to drop 40 on Ohio State's defense is the team they're playing tomorrow. So, like, from that standpoint, yes. And I think the reason why Ohio State and Oregon are the favorites are because they're the ones that can score a bunch of points on everybody, because everybody's got really good defenses. So, like, for me, you've got the two best offensive teams playing each other in a tournament that's really based on great defenses, and those two offensive teams also happen to have great defenses. So, you know, long-winded answer to your question, I think, yes, it is the toughest test that they have remaining, but also don't think it's the only game that they could lose. So, you know, Ohio State has to go out there and play their game, take care of business, and do their best to potentially put themselves in a position to win that game. And, of course, there's going to be more games to go. But if they get through Oregon, you probably feel pretty good as an Ohio State fan in their quest to potentially win the national title this year.
And what's the coaching advantage between Ryan Day and Dan Lanning?
It's interesting. Because, I'm obsessed with Dan Lanning. I love – the thing that I love about Dan Lanning isn't – you know, it's twofold. One, it's he has done a good job building the roster into an elite-level, you know, outfit there. Like, they have really good players all over the field. And, you know, in years past, even going back to 10 years ago, when I was covering the Oregon-Ohio State national title game, like, they just weren't athletically equipped to play with Ohio State 10 years ago. And maybe for much of the past decade, they weren't. But through the portal and through elite-level recruiting, Lanning has built that team as well as, you know, some of the Georgia teams that he helped coach to a title. And I think that that is a huge aspect of why Oregon not only has lost, but are in the position that they're in. But the second thing I love about Dan Lanning, and it's my number one criticism of Ohio State, is he always has something up his sleeve. He's always doing something that they've worked on that you haven't seen yet. They always hit you in a moment where you're not sure something's coming. They go for it and trust their players in high leverage moments. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But like, even if you go back and not to criticize Ryan Day, you know, after what they did against Tennessee, but like, did he do anything new or different or risky or anything in the Michigan game? Like, when's the last time Ohio State came out and ran a play where it was like, wow, where the hell was that? Like, I don't even know. You'd have to go back years for me to remember one that's like actually that stood out. And I'm not saying like different formations or pre-snap shifts or, you know, new designs. I know that they're coaches and they do those things, but like, you know, the snap that on the fake in the SEC championship game that you saw with Arch Manning under center and the ball going through the quarterback's legs to get the first down. Like Ohio State always has a talent advantage, but I don't know that they always try to do the thing outside of just relying on that talent, which is scheming up a scheme or a play or a package or something that the opponent doesn't see coming. And I think that Dan Lanning does that really well. So, you know, as much as Ryan Day deserves a lot of respect for what they did against Tennessee, I also don't know that he's out of the doghouse in terms of what went on against Michigan for the last 4 years or losing big games, you know, repeatedly over the course of the past four. I know they've been close. And I know that, you know, they're a field goal away from beating Georgia, and you know I know the script. But you know, Dan Lanning seems to be breaking through right now, to be considered one of the best coaches in the entire country. And like, I would give the edge to Oregon in that regard. Like, I think Ohio State's going to come out and do what it does. But like, if you're expecting them to run a Ted Ginn tight end, you know, pass over the, you know, middle that no one sees coming, like in the 06 Michigan game or something like that. Like, we just haven't seen Ohio State do that. And I don't know why, because they're really smart and they've got really great players and a great coaching staff. But, you know, Lanning, I just feel like, you know, even like the thing that they did in the first, and I'm sorry if I'm going long-winded, but the first game, like, you know, having 12 men on the field on purpose, it's like the guy always has an ace up his sleeve. There's always an ace in the hole. And I just don't know that I feel that way about Ohio State. So we'll see what we get on January 1st. But that's my thought process as it pertains to the coaching advantage.
Ari, looking to the Final Four, what are the four teams you think make it out of the next 2 days?
I think Ohio State's going to win, but I would not be very certain of that. I think Notre Dame is going to beat Georgia. I think Texas is going to beat Arizona State, and I think that Penn State will beat Boise here in an hour.
All right. That is
concise. Those are my four. I don't know. I've been long-winded. I don't know how long the spot is. But like, it's just,
you're fine.
It's,
you're fine.
And we'll see. Like, I don't know. Like, I have questions about all three of the other teams, and the winner of the Ohio State-Oregon game I think is going to be the most complete team. And it is kind of cool that they're playing in the Rose Bowl in a traditional Big Ten, Pac-12 type feel game. I think it's kind of crappy that they're playing so early. Like, it seems to me like this would be a good national title game, but it doesn't matter because you have to win that game eventually, so why not now? I just – Georgia has a quarterback issue. Penn State has no receivers. Texas has you know, been very sporadic on offense. Like, the teams that I think are going to advance to the finals – or at least the semifinals, I should say, all have inherent weaknesses that you can spot from a mile away. I don't know if that's true about Ohio State and Oregon. So if whoever wins the Rose Bowl, I think should feel really good about their spot and potentially winning the championship. And I can't wait to see Penn State and what they do tonight. And of course, if Boise or Arizona State or somebody can show us something. But the most controversial pick there is Notre Dame, because everybody thinks Georgia's just going to win. And I've watched Notre Dame pretty closely this year, and they're really good. So we'll see what happens. But super excited about these quarterfinals and what we might get here going into the next week.
So I know you hinted at something like this earlier, but if Ryan Day loses this game, in particularly in an ugly fashion, do you think all of a sudden those Coach Ryan Day rumors start to heat up and maybe become a reality?
What does ugly fashion look like to you?
More than 10 points.
I mean, if Ohio State plays a competitive game, they're down by 7 with 5 minutes left and throw a pick six or something, like, I mean, that's not ugly to me. Like, that's just losing to a better team, probably. I don't know. I don't think Ohio State's going to fire the man, okay? So the question is, and I don't know if they lost 42-10 if they would fire him. I think that the question is whether or not the Michigan game looms large enough for you or for the people who make these decisions. And you have an athletic director in Ross Bjork, who isn't from Ohio and isn't indoctrinated into this rivalry. I don't know how somebody in his position could fire somebody with Ryan Day's record. I don't think that is going to happen. And, I mean, I don't know if it should. But the thing that sticks out to me more than anything is, like, Ryan Day isn't the wrong coach for Ohio State because of the Oregon game, no matter what happens, right? And I don't think that they're going to lose by a lot. If they lose, it'll be a close game like the first one. They played a nearly identical game the first time. He's being judged ultimately through the lens of the Michigan game. And I know that was a month ago or whatever it was, but, like, that is it. It's not like, oh, wow, Ohio State can't match up athletically with Oregon, because he's done 85% of the job the perfect way, right? Like, he's a great, you know, steward of the program. He's a nice man, and they recruit like hell, and they have amazing players. Like, that is the hardest part of the job, right? Putting together a roster that's good enough to play with anybody, and Ohio State does that repeatedly under him. The thing that keeps me up when thinking about Ohio State is that, you know, living 10 years there and covering that team, I understand emphatically how important it is to beat Michigan. And the way they lost to Michigan this year was such a bad loss from a coaching perspective that it makes me wonder if there is a mental block there that's too big to overcome for him. Like, that is my, it's like he was sitting next to me, I'd look him square in the eye, and I'd just be like, what the hell happened? Like, I still think that was one of the most bizarre games and one of the worst losses in Ohio State history. So, like, in this new system, it's not like it's 2006 anymore, where if you lose the game of the century, you don't get to play in the national title game anymore. And it is a very bizarre position to be in, where it's like, Ohio State is coming off of maybe the worst loss in program history, and we're talking about whether or not they're going to win the national title. Like, that is a new phenomenon. And, like, you have to poll Ohio State fans and ask, like, if you think that the coach at Ohio State can be successful ultimately overall if they have a problem against Michigan. And part of that is Michigan is good, and part of that is Michigan has won the national title last year and has proven to be a tough out. But this year was so absolutely awful that it makes you question how could they get to a dark enough place to allow that to happen. So, like, that to me is like a off-season, two-hour podcast, five times a week type discussion, and not like a radio spot. Like, I think he will be the head coach there next year because I know him, and I don't think that he would just ultimately, like, walk away on his own, and I don't think he's going to get fired. So, like, the Oregon game is like, you know, I hear this national championship or bust or whatever. And it's like, okay, you know, they paid $20 million for the roster and, you know, they had expected to make a deep run into this thing and whatever. But, like, what are we talking about when we're talking about Ryan Day's future at Ohio State? We're not talking about Oregon. We're not talking about the national title this year. We're talking about his inability to beat Michigan. And, like, that to me, with the new athletic director and all that stuff, is really what it comes down to, and whether or not Ohio State can live with that and whether he can get off the schneid there. Because, like, they're going to be tougher next year too, guys. Like, Michigan's better next year. Ohio State's on the road and probably way worse than they are now. Unless they have another heroic portal haul that I don't see coming. I don't even know who they would get to match what they did last year. It's going to get harder. So, like, they might lose five in a row. And, you know, I don't want to put that out there, you know, 24 hours before they kick off in a quarterfinal game. But, like, if you want to have a big discussion about Ryan Day, it's like, well, what do you think is going to happen next year if they couldn't beat that team with this team this year, when Michigan's much better and Ohio State is, you know, unquestionably not as well. I mean, Ohio State's going to be good, but are they going to be great again? I don't think so. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, like, I don't know if, like, my decision-making as it pertains to Ryan Day and his future and how I view it is going to change at all based on what happens against the best team in the country that isn't Michigan.
Ari, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. And enjoy the next couple days here. A lot of great football action hopefully on the way. And, again, Happy New Year's to you and yours.
Yep, you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Ari Wasserman on 3 Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Comprehensive from Ari. We react to it on Ohio State next on 92.3 The Fan.